Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. Today we have a tremendous show for you. We've got some really brilliant people from across two continents, I guess you could say. You know, it's a tremendous aspect to be able to bring, you know, some people who have the same beliefs as us and look at aspects of life as they used to be. You know, it's pretty sad the way things are getting to be. Just yesterday I was attacked by several liberals and Antifa on a buddy of mine's post who happens to be on the show today. I was called everything from a xenophobe to a racist to a Nazi, which is funny because I'm American Indian. But, you know, that's beside the point. We have some tremendous guests on the show, you know, with us today. One being Derek Story. Derek, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, the honor is all ours. And the other is the one and only Mr. Wayne Peters. Brother, how you doing?
I am doing outstanding, brother. Thanks for having me back. It's a real honor.
Oh, it's a true honor for us. And on my panel today, we got Mr. Joe Rice, and as always, MF Beck, and Mr. Travis Hyland. You know, I want to start the show off in a kind of a disheartening manner. You know, I was able to watch the lives of one of the peaceful demonstrations that you guys did up there in Canada to want to give food and water to the homeless, only to be attacked by Antifa and to have them come and take the water and different aspects and correlate, you know, thoughts towards your movement and call you fucking Nazi pigs and racist and things of this nature. You know, how bad is it getting for you, even when you do a peaceful protest, to get the word, to get freedom of expression construed to the people in your country?
It's really tough. Oh, go ahead, Wayne. You go on that one.
It's been overwhelming in the fact that the level of argument that is being leveraged and mass bullhorned across the country is so polar opposite to the truth and the reality of it. It's absolutely ridiculous. The sense of entitlement of this group in Canada that call themselves Antifa here, it's the most brazen, outstanding displays of ignorance that you could possibly imagine. And this weekend was no exception to the what I've seen now as completely standard operating procedure for these guys. We watched as this small group tried to do something nice on an overwhelmingly hot weekend for the homeless. They were not rich people. They bought this stuff out of their pockets with the intent to go down and hand out snacks and waters and apples to the homeless in a city called Kitchener. And as expected, Antifa completely distorted the story, overwhelmed this small group, and it was laughable because they came and took snacks off of these people's charity table while they later on brought pots full of stew and whatnot to feed the homeless afterwards because they could upstage us. And the media, the mainstream media, was there lapping it all up, giving them hours of interview time, and not once did they speak to any of the original people there to do this charity work.
That's horrific. You know, Jamie, I've watched a little bit of you. I've been following Wayne for quite some time. You know, what are your thoughts and, you know, analysis on Antifa and the perplexion that it's taking over in Canada?
You mean Derek?
Did you mean
Derek? I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep thinking Jamie didn't call in. I apologize.
No, you know what? Like, I'm from Ottawa, and I started doing protests and stuff. I really kicked in my activism since the truck convoy way back in February, I think it was. And I've been to a lot of protests, Antifa's always there. So, like, I see them all the time shutting down free speech on any event. So,
but can I interject on something? Can I say something?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
You know, let me ask you, gentlemen, how come people aren't fighting back? Are people fighting back? Because in California, I don't see people fighting back. They're just taking their shit.
Yeah. Well, there's some of us that are fighting back, and a lot of people are on the fence because here in Canada, a lot of people are, you know, government workers or, like, we have to work real hard for our money, and they'll dox us if we stand up against them, and they'll make us lose our jobs.
Okay, let me ask you this. Why don't you dress like them and then just beat them up looking like them? They put masks on, they put helmets on, they put all kinds of shit on. Just dress like them and infiltrate them.
Well,
we had an instance of that a couple of weeks ago here where this kind of similar situation happened, and a couple of Antifa did end up with some broken noses, but there was a situation of a couple of people with some street preachers, about 10 of them in total, that were mobbed and attacked by nearly 200 of these this unified LGBTQ alphabet soup crew and Antifa, and a couple of them ended up with broken noses, and they laid assault charges with a weapon against the guys that were defending themselves. So this is
But those guys are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing. They're doing it. Nothing happens to them?
There was no charges, fresh charges of violence against them in that incident. There was has been a couple of arrests, but it's basically been a breach of probation violations that's the only arrests that have been made against Antifa at any of the last several events. These are just some of the cases. The case where they mobbed and bricked a 70-year-old guy, there's still been no charges in that.
But yet you as Canadians, if you voice your opinion, then you're fined, you're taken off of social media. They make it to a point where they can take everything from you. You know, that's an atrocity at least at its minimum. You know, here's a country that you grew up in, you love, and, you know, as in a post yesterday before Antifa and the left attacked us, you know, I stated our country. And, you know, it's so whimsical how they choose to rethink your thoughts for you, you know, and they attacked me by saying, how is it your motherfucking country? Pardon my French, but, you know, I didn't put my country. I put our country as Americans. You know, how is the reflection, and I'm going to ask you, Derek, how is the reflection in Canada for the elderly, the people as yourself that truly want to keep Canada free?
It's a tough game with them because, when you stand up, you know, like, you're doing the right thing. They end up making posters or putting them around the cities, like, saying a bunch of lies. Like, they post them all over the place. That's a tactic that they use in Ontario and across Canada. So they defame you all across the towns and the cities and stuff like that. They pass out pamphlets, and it's like a big warning to the community. It's like they're trying to soak everybody in to believe these lies, right?
But are people falling for it?
People are being intimidated. Antifa has government support. They have federal funding. They have international funding. They have endless resources. And the economy here has gotten so bad that people are so close to being homeless themselves that they're scared to say anything, because the instant you say anything, even as much as a social media post, like you were talking about earlier there, Don, is a license for them to attack and mob you digitally, and if you stand out physically in the real world, you get the same thing. You become Basically, they portray you as a human rights abuser, and that's the agenda and narrative that they immediately engage on and mob you. And if you scream something loud enough and long enough, it becomes reality, right? And that's what the media turns it into.
Hold on a second, Joe. I think we've been joined by Jamie Nix. Am I correct?
Yes. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Jamie. It's Derek.
Tremendous.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, brother.
I just wanted to add to what I think it was Wayne talking there about, you know, I don't know how anybody can have any kind of audacity for trying to label people that are merely just trying to make ends meet. These people that are out protesting in Canada, and I'm sure in on the streets, you know, with the overall rise in the cost of living, I've been saying this from the beginning. The overall rise in the cost of living and these never-ending incremental tax increases that just seem to go on and on, generation after generation, they did a study in my hometown that if you have a full-time job, that you cannot afford a one-bedroom or a two-bedroom apartment. Back in the day when my parents were growing up, you could have one job in the family and that would sustain the home. People that had two family incomes, that was like winning the lottery. My father got his very first job when he was 18 years old for the provincial government, making $4.30 an hour, and that was a gold mine job. So, you know, for these assholes to go out there and wear masks and beat on seniors and all this other bullshit, you know what? I tip my hat to Donald Trump for calling these guys out right in one of his big rallies. I'll tell you what. These guys are going down just like all the other criminal cabal, money laundering scammers of the world. And you know what? I can't wait to see them all. They're already squirming. We're just watching the remnants of the crumbling, the beginning of the big crumble. So everybody that's out there protesting for seniors, veterans, oil field workers, and everyday people just trying to make ends meet, you know what? Keep up the good work. And to all those assholes out there that are little punks living in their mommy's basement, go get a fucking job. And that's all I got to say.
Right. Hey, I love it. I'm going to open the floor to my panel now, and that being Jill Rice, MF Beck, and Travis Hyland. And I'm gonna allow Travis Hyland the first question of the show, Travis.
I mean, first of all, I got to say, Jamie, that you took a lot of the words out of my mouth, man, like that. It's beautiful, beautiful sentiments all the way around. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week, and I think it's a really important thing, like, especially for us Americans to hear. But I posed this question to Wayne last week, and Jamie, since you're, you seem to be my Canadian spirit animal, I'd like to pose this to you. What do you think the implications are with, you know, Canada has the Ministry of Truth there? How much, you know, more invasive and more decisive do you see that getting with the way that technology is going and facial recognition and, you know, these government forces like the Ministry of Truth having as much power as they do?
Well, If you want to know my honest opinion, I'm going to tell you something that maybe some people don't know, but I'm going to take a long shot here. For all those people that are out breaking the law and money laundering and, you know, being part of organized crime syndicates, the truth is all coming out, and I'm going to explain to you why. Because we have a new era of the internet that's rolling out, and it's called blockchain. The whole financial system, as we're talking on the phone right now, is all being hardwired. And I'll tell you what, the truth serum is being implemented across the entire financial system right now. And you are going to see all of these punks and all of these so-called upstanding people that have been breaking the law year after year, they're all going to be out of business. And that's a guarantee. And, you know, they're hiding behind a suit. And they're hiding behind positions of power. And you know what? At the end of the day, they're all going to get busted, because there's one thing you cannot people don't understand that the blockchain is a very intricate thing. The blockchain is as individual to us as and it's unencryptable as your DNA. Okay? So the blockchain is the new security architecture for the financial, for the internet. Bottom line, and you know what? You follow the money, and you're going to follow where it goes. And at the end, you're seeing these people starting to get arrested. And they've all been, they're all guilty. You'll see. I'm excited. We're moving into a really interesting time. And, you know, this one fella said something to me the other day. And I'll never, ever, ever forget what he said. What the heck was it now? you know what?
I never forget. Here's the problem. What the hell was it?
Is I'm driving right now, and I'm trying to remember what he said. What did he say? The truth is the ultimate force. Truth is the ultimate force of nature. That's what it was.
Yep.
So, you know what? You just follow the money, and all this stuff just comes out in the end anyhow. So, you know, it's going to be good. I'm excited.
Yeah. You know, well, most definitely. I'm going to pass it to you, MF, next. But we look at Canada, and what's perplexing up there, and it's just basically being shadowed in the United States. You know, we are dealing with the same complexities, the same aspects as Canada, and that's why I think this show is a must-need, and the people need to hear it, because it's not just happening there, it's being construed here. You know, it came to sight during the era of Obama, and now it's grown into a monster that doesn't seem to be, you know, that can be ceased unless we stand up and talk for our rights and stand up for ourselves and our values. And you're starting to see an aspect of that now conforming in the United States. And you're seeing that in Canada, and some retribute through you gentlemen, the patriots of Canada. You know, it's a tremendous thing that we're doing here, and I think the world needs to know, and the world needs to listen, that it's not just in our two countries. It's coming to theirs. It's coming worldwide. And unless we stand up and stand against it right now, the future is forever lost. And with that being said, I'm going to pass the mic to Mr. MF Beck.
Not very good at the question things, but I'm going to give this a whirl. It's an honor to have you guys on here with us. I'm going to pose you guys, everybody, the same question, just because I have no faith in humanity. I'll be the first one to admit it. Don knows this. Travis knows this. Like, I have very minimal, if any, faith in the human species at all. So, with that being said, if everyone's fighting for their own sense of justice, who's wrong? You know, and even then, it's, if we were to get peace, could there ever be an understanding? And if there was an understanding, would we even be able to know each other? Like, I believe, Wayne, you had asked the last time you were on here, you know, like, how long has this been going on, and if we could change anything like that. And if it comes down to the individual, you know, who's right, who's wrong? Everybody mm-hmm. thinks that they're fighting for their own sense of justice. You know, how do we determine who's right?
This is, I think that as humans, we are inherently born with an automatic gift of right and wrong.
Absolutely, Wayne. Absolutely.
And, the evil gets taught to us. We become what we're surrounded by. And, the old adage is ring the truest in the simple things is that it takes a village to raise a child. It will take the events that happen between people on a one-on-one basis that reaffirms our belief in humanity. When we look at things from 10,000 feet and we look at humanity as these tiny little specks, no, I have no faith in humanity from that level either. But I will tell you what, brothers, traveling this country as I have now for months on end, from patriot to patriot, I have had my faith in humanity restored so many thousands of times over in the people that have nothing to give and are all heart and love, that it gives me the strength to see the forest and not the tree.
Yes, I agree, Wayne. I'm in the same boat with you on that one, because we're traveling together, right?
every day it's the small things that reaffirm our faith in humanity. And when we come together with like-minded individuals like we are here, it's the beginning of something bigger. And this is how we change the bigger picture by simplifying our lives to good versus evil and doing what's right, not what's easy, and becoming what we're surrounded by when we're in the company of good people. And this thing called the internet and technology has been a very effective divider of keeping us in our homes and glued to our devices that are teaching us and telling us how to think at the most basic level. Even when you go to type a text message, your phone is telling you what you should properly say, not what you're intending to say. It autocorrects little things that are conditioning us and training us to lose our humanity, to disconnect from our humanity. And it's up to us.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, I don't know who wants to answer this question between Jamie, Derek, or Wayne. I brought one of my sponsors on today because he's a man that is not short of words. He's a man that initially was attacked and is always attacked in his post for his beliefs. And, you know, I told him about the show that me and you and the fellows did, Wayne, about the cities that were being created up in Canada. And at first he was like, I'll get out of here with that. But then he went and did a little research, and he's like, you know, I'm hearing that this is true. So, Joe, what are your thoughts, or what would your questions be towards the Patriots from Canada about these cities that are being formulated up in the Canadian aspect, and how and what it's doing to perpetuate society?
You know, I don't really know if I have a question in regards to that. I'm just still in awe of listening to what's going on. I'm having a hard time believing that a country like Canada would be having that kind of shit going on. And I see the struggles that we're having here in our country with Antifa and all of this other bullshit that's been happening. Excuse my language. To me, it just seems as though everybody's got to fight, man. We were born in blood, we'll die in blood. You know, and there's I believe Chief Joseph said, I'd rather live on die standing on my feet than live on my knees.
Yes, yes.
And I just think people need to have an opinion and have a voice and be able to say that, hey, man, you're wrong. Whether you like it or not, you don't have the right to tell me how I should be able to live my life. And again, Don, I apologize. I know it's so much not as a question, but it's just being a statement of I'm just in shock hearing what's going on and how things are really changing what my perspective of Canada is. You know, I always pictured you gentlemen up there living the great life. You know, you live close to the outdoors. You hunt, you fish, you know, you're meant being.
Well, hold on. Let me, if I could jump in there and say something. As you bring that up, the United Nations is trying to circumvent all of our municipalities one at a time and through our provinces, or what you would call a state. And basically what they're doing is trying to roll out a United Nations sustainable agenda and close down all the backcountry from people to go quadding and enjoy those great outdoors that I, yes, grew up to and was very fortunate enough to be able to do that as a young child with my dad and my grandpa. And now those days look like they're starting to see an overcast, and that agenda from the United Nations is such a crock of shit. And you know what? This is Canada, and there's a lot of people that are seriously naive into thinking that there is not an outside agenda and an outside force that has an ulterior motive. And if anybody wants to talk about those United Nations, I understand that Trump has fully disengaged from the United Nations, and I would like to hear your guys' opinion as to the position that the United States takes on that stance? And where do you guys see yourself in the future with respect to the relationship with the United Nations?
We are the United Nations, in my opinion. As long as we pull out, what's anybody else going to do? That's just my opinion. I mean, if we tell them to fuck off, what are they going to do? Tell us no?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, therein is the difference in that you have the ability to say that and be heard. In Canada, we do not have the ability to say that and be heard. We have no voice in those decisions.
It's like the human rights, it's the new police.
Yeah, but see, you know what? I understand that and I get that. But before that happens here, I'm willing to put my shit to the fan. I'm willing to stand up and say, hey, fuck you. You want to do this? Let's go.
And that is what is the difference between, I find the Americans are extremely patriotic, and in respect to that sort of that do not take shit attitude. And that is something that has really been beaten out of a lot of Canadians. I mean, people are afraid to even swear, or, you know, people are afraid in Canada. I really hate to say it. People are accustomed worldwide to hearing Canadians say sorry for everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, like, that's the thing, though. It's just like our word is being policed by human rights. So, like, if we say something wrong, we get, like, a fine or charged or something like that. So it's not right, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, it's horrific what is transitioning there. And the reason I think it's tremendous that we bring this to the forefront on my platform is because it's happening here. You know, you say that we do have a right right now to speak, but yet as we speak, that right is being taken away. I, as a journalist, am censored 9 out of every 10 posts. Most of the time that I try to do anything, it'll be taken down immediately, but yet exist in numerous other places. You know, in America, what they're doing is they're shutting down the true aspect of journalism. They only want you to hear what they want you to hear. Now, I understand that in Canada, as we spoke with Wayne on an earlier episode, that all of the aspects of the news is going to be coming out of one source. The thing of what it is, and where I want to get at is, what can we do, Jamie, Derek, and Wayne, you know, what can we do as we need to come as one? What is going to start making a difference? Because I, too, like Jamie spoke of earlier, or Derek spoke of earlier, you know, I remember the days that, you know, when you had an issue with somebody, you went out behind the building and you fought, you shook each other's hands, and life was grand. But as I've gotten older and I'm in my mid-50s now, those days are gone. They're never going to be again. And what I see is a degressing in intelligence, a degressing in society, and people have no more morals anymore. So it's not just the Canadian aspect. What's happening there is trickling down here, and it's growing vastly. You know, mm-hmm. Me and Joe saw that yesterday, and like I said in a post earlier in the show, we were bombarded. You know, I was called everything from a xenophobe to a Nazi to a racist to a homosexual to everything. And, you know, I did a mic drop on them, and I told Joe, I said, watch how pathetic they are. I said, I did one last statement, and then I posted a picture of a mic drop. And I said, watch how ignorant these son of a bitches are. They will continue to post. And, Joe, how long do they continue? I think they're still posting now. Am I wrong?
Yeah, they're still posting today. They're arguing amongst themselves. That's how genius these fuckers are.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of entertaining to watch.
The Democrats are arguing amongst themselves.
Yeah, but you know what? It is entertaining, but it just shows how they actually dumb down society.
Yeah, the common sense is out the window.
Oh, it's completely gone. And the shitty part about it is we were having a discussion before you gentlemen came on, and I apologize, Don. Who was the first gentleman that we were speaking with?
I believe it was Jane, Derek.
The younger guy, the younger
yeah.
gentleman, right? He's the millennial.
Yeah. The smart one.
Okay.
The smart one.
Well, we were talking amongst ourselves, and I told him he was lucky because somewhere, and I had just made a guess, that somewhere he had older people that were giving him opinions, and that's how he turned out well.
Yeah.
And I hear constantly here by millennials that the old and we're stupid and we don't belong. Well, fuck you.
Everybody
you
belongs,
know?
Man.
Yeah, but you're hearing, at least I am. I'm hearing more and more by these millennials that, oh, you're just old, you don't matter anyhow.
You're a boomer.
Really?
You're a boomer. You ruined the country.
What is old? What is old? How old are you?
Me, I'm 34.
I'm 53.
Well, that's really not old.
None of
us
are old.
I'm the oldest of
us. We're all part of the same human race.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct.
If we're going to divide ourselves up amongst ages, I mean, we already have a hard enough time with 350 plus languages. You know, another 400 currencies. I don't know how many thousands of borders and countries in the world. Let's start.
Don't forget about the genders.
Let's just keep going. How many ways can we cut our people up?
You want to start with the genders?
How many is there? Right away?
Yeah. In all fairness to my listeners, we got to kind of try to. You know, not talk over each other and each and everybody. I'll give each and everybody an opportunity to respond and correlate their thought. You know, I think what we're doing today is tremendous. You know, I had asked Wayne to bring on some of the constituents that follow his heart and sentiments about Canada. You know, my panel, we're kind of ruthless sometimes on individuals because we believe in fairness and equality. But even through freedom of expression, they're now taking away our freedom of speech. And it's an ongoing issue that is truly perplexing the United States as we sit now. You know, they're taking away from the people that care about the country, and they're giving to the people that want to destroy this country. You know, it's tremendous because as Americans, we were taught that Canadians don't like us. But we found out through Wayne and other aspects of Canada that's a falsity, you know. And I love it because we could show the world coming together as one that there is no hate. We all want what's great in life. We all want a purpose. We all want equality. And
right.
That's being taken away from us daily. If we don't stand up and speak now, it'll forever be lost. And that's an atrocity in my book because I am the oldest man on the show. And the elderly is what taught me my walk. So to consider the elderly disposable is probably the greatest demeaning aspect I've ever heard in my life because that's where the true knowledge lies. And, yeah, we joke around with Jamie and Derek and everybody and talk about millennials and this and that, and I even give Travis a bad time. But let's not take away from the fact that each and every one of you is very poignant, articulate, and truly loves the rights of the country that they live in, and not just the countries that they live in, but everybody. And
yes.
If we can come together as one and share that thought. Go ahead.
Can I add to that? And, you know, having said about the rumor about this manifested correlation between Americans and Canadians not liking each other, well, you know what, we're not playing hockey right now. So, you know, the one thing that I miss and I remember as a kid was being able to cross the border, even my parents, without even showing identification. And I remember
yeah.
those days because there was an unspoken brotherhood between Americans and Canadians. And there was a reason why it is the world's largest undefended border. And it was because we were brothers and sisters. And you know what? I believe that we are brothers and sisters. And to add towards the freedom of speech thing, I can't argue that enough, because our Charter of Rights and Freedoms has been actually breached in Canada, because our Prime Minister is now pushing a new digital charter that has to do with the internet censorship and whatnot. Now, something that people might not know, but I'm a musician and a songwriter, and I've done a few things over the years with respect with my art and craft, including published a couple songs as of recent, which have been completely banned and blocked on Facebook. How in the heck and what kind of world are we living in when you can't write a country western song about love, about freedom, and about your brothers and sisters, and just overall loving your country and loving your fellow man?
Yes.
It's pathetic, brother. It truly is. I'm going to pass the mic to Travis Hyland, because he's kind of like the know-all of who's all on our show, and I think he might have an eloquent question. Travis?
I mean, you know, I would say that I'm the one who goes, you know, deepest into a lot of these crazy rabbit holes. And if you were to go back in the archives of this show, man, and, you know, I'll pose this to any one of you three who wants to comment on this, and also preface by saying that, you know, this first statement is my words and my thoughts are left. You know, but if you were to go back in the archives of the show, I've been screaming on this show about Jeffrey Epstein for, you know, probably about the past 2 years. We're seeing all of this, you know, all of this data now starting to come out, and there's a lot of links between Jeffrey Epstein, Hillary Clinton, and the Prime Minister of Canada.
So, yes,
I mean, without making any accusations, I'd just like to, you know, leave it to you gentlemen to, you know, what kind of links do you see and are you allowed to comment on with the links, you know, between those three individuals?
Well, Don has good lawyers for the show, so I'm gonna pop in a little bit here and say that I've been vocally talking about this now in Canada for a few weeks, and it every time I do bring this up, it invites a fresh round of censorship on any network that I discuss this on. And this government fully believes in censorship rather than transparency. And the significant factors are going right back to his election and the Clinton support, not just in voice, but in actual assets, resources, and people to Trudeau, help launch him into office and duplicate and mirror the entire Clinton Foundation, to the tune of being worth, Trudeau's foundation is worth about $100 million right now. And there is absolutely no way that they were not connected with the Epstein situation. We have talked about it here, and it, just this week, you're seeing confirmation now of Trudeau being taking trips on the Lolita Express. And he has, in the past, admitted to knowledge and calling Epstein friends. So it cannot help but come out, and we won't be able to bring it out up here. But he will for sure echo the truth that comes out from you guys down there, because we don't have the ability to investigate or look at things freely that you guys do down there.
Yeah.
You know, I want to interject, because it's a thought that I've taken away from the first show. You know, when Trudeau was, when Trudeau was first introduced and running for office, was it public awareness that Trudeau was truly a financially backed and supported by the Muslim community?
Well, it's pretty obvious now.
It was a commonplace thing during that election, and it was discussed heavily about the pandering for votes and demographics that they were chasing. And the thing that made the impact the most was Trudeau's ability to capitalize on social media and a couple of things that he was running on, mostly legalizing marijuana. that and the youth vote that put him into power with the support of extreme funding from out of country. And the instant he got into power, he fully understood the fact that in Canada, there is no legal precedent for any elected official to do a single thing that they're elected for, and they cannot be held accountable. They have free reign. Once they've gotten office, they have free reign. And he fully took advantage of that, and then one of the first things he did was introduce the M103 anti-Islamophobia bill, which gave them shelter to anybody that wanted to look at or discuss these inputs and support that he had was instantly demonized and criminalized. So that's what they've been building on here with legislation since the first year he came in.
Now, we dropped the call. I don't know if it was Jamie or Derek. Who still was?
I'm still here. It's Derek.
Okay. All right. I think we lost Jamie. Yeah.
No, I'm here.
Oh.
Well, who did we lose? I'll have to look and see whose number we lost. We lost the caller.
Might have been Joe.
Joe's not here. Maybe, yeah, he runs a business, and like I said, he's my sponsor, so he wanted to come on the show, but maybe he had a client. You know, the thing that, before I toss it back to MF and Travis, the thing that really intrigues me, and I want to get a better understanding of it, is the facet now with Trudeau being connected to the Muslim community, would you say that the tactics and the thoughts of the Muslim community are now taking precedence over what originally was established in Canada? Do you feel that Canada is now being made a Muslim state or country?
Yes, I could say that because they already have a Islamic party for elections and stuff like that put into place, and they're trying to say that they're the natives of the land.
Well, and I'll add to that too, because we had a massive forest fire up in our oil crown jewel of Canada in Fort McMurray, and in fact, many countries tried to come to Canada's aid and help with the fires. And our lovely Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, declined any foreign aid to help put the fires out. And it wasn't more than a couple, little bit after that they announced that they are going to be building the largest mosque in the world in a little town of Fort McMurray, which is, I think there's 30,000 people that live there. So the thing I don't understand is, why would you want to build the world's largest mosque up in the boonies of northern Alberta, Canada, where you don't even get the sun very much most of the year? It's minus 60. What purpose? I would like to know. So, you know, I have a question. You're right. Is Canada becoming a Muslim-run country? And with what you've said about Justin Trudeau having all of this foreign influence, which we've actually proven through his social media campaigns, because now with the algorithms that Facebook has, when somebody publishes an ad, you can see where all the targets are, and he's targeting foreign countries for his election campaign stuff, which is crazy. So why is he advertising in India and Dubai and all these other places around the world? And, you know, it's funny, you go look at the people that are commenting and writing, you know, different things on his posts. They're not from Canada.
Nope.
Why is he decriminalizing things like bestiality? Why is he decriminalizing terrorism? Why is he decriminalizing bomb making? Why are they only persecuting Christian religions? The list is ridiculous. Some of these programs that our migration and immigration program calls for 350,000 migrants a year, but this does not include the students to citizenship programs. So at this point, right now, it's nearly 1 million Islamic migrants a year coming into Canada.
Wow.
Zero Christian immigration. Zero.
Yeah, because we could be helping the African farmers. They're Christian. They're from Africa, and they're sending them to Australia and all that stuff, and we can't take them in.
Russia is taking more Christian immigrants than Canada.
Mm-hmm. What about the genocide that's happening with the South African farmers?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, yeah.
Refugees. Yeah. Yeah, wow.
It's more than just a two-country issue, and we're starting to see that more and more. And, you know, I wanted to pose that question because, you know, I'm Fort Worth with everything. I didn't vote for Trump. I didn't like Trump in the beginning. MF Beck will verify that. You know, but I got to admit, I kind of like the orange man. You know, I kind of like the man because there's a method to his madness. Do I trust him? No. But do I like that he's going out and calling people? You know, just recently there was 258 arrests and sex trafficking, pedophilia, and other aspects in our country under the right hand of Trump. And you see an aspect of a man that wants to clean up our nation, is trying to. But the question that I pose to you on either side, in either country, is it too late? You know, or is what we're doing now, as I noticed from the first show that me and Wayne did, that a lot more people in our country are starting to post their thoughts and to stand up. But is it too little too late?
Can I chime in on this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Gentlemen, please. Perfect. Maybe I can ease your thoughts a little bit. Like, you asked, is it too late? I'd say wait until 2020, because Trump's going to win it regardless right now. And, like, the left is like an Ouroboros, right? It's a snake eating itself. But right now, California, New York, that's the hub. And Trump's a fucking genius. I don't care what anybody says. How he plays a game is completely different than everybody else. Like, especially, like, what he's doing with the squad right now, and even, like, the shit going down in Maryland with Mayor Julian, and then the shit that's going down in L.A., like, he purposely drew the attention over there, because now everybody's going to go start digging and seeing about these cities and seeing this and this and this and this. Like, not only did he make the left actually group themselves with socialists, but pretty much like the squad, right? He pretty much forced the left to side with them because they can't disown their own. So now it showed that the left really is all about that agenda. So that's
enable base.
And then you get everything that's going on with Maryland and L.A. Like, Trump is literally trying to take, like, Boardwalk and Park Place from Monopoly right now, and he's pointing out how bad it is, and you're going to watch the Ouroboros eat itself right now. And so then you look at the election itself. I mean, if anybody watched the debate, too, like, it's comical. It's pure comedy. They have no champions. They have no message. And they have no fucking unity. And like what Joe had said, you know, like if the U.S. pulls out of the U.N., like what are they going to do? No, you guys can't do that. Yeah, it's not going to happen. So as far as it's too late, it's too soon to say. Like there's still too many variables and there's still too much time that could happen in between. You know what I mean? So I say like after 2020, we'll find. But I can guarantee you this, and I called a lot of shit with Trump. Donald actually backed up my word on that when I called his shit before he even got elected. And if he wins, chaos will ensue, and the Democratic side will fall in the U.S. Now what's going to happen to the rest of the world? If you take out the head of the snake, what's going to happen? Like, how's the rest going to survive? Canada could be the next front for the, you know, the Liberals and the Democratic Party, because if they fall in the U.S.,
well,
the rest of the world is going to take notice of that. So yeah, I think it all depends on what's going to happen in 2020.
It's interesting you say that, because while the head of that snake is being severed, you're seeing the likes of Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama coming up to Canada, and I can't believe that Canadians are so stupid, they're actually giving little speeches at arenas and selling tickets. It's unbelievable. So
yeah,
the
smart ones are looking for the way out. They're automatically trying to get out of there. That's why it's like, you see, like, they may be investigating the shit with Epstein, but they're like, Obama's untouchable. You cannot investigate that guy. Because why? If Obama gets proven to be corrupt, number one, half the fucking populace isn't going to believe this shit, and they're automatically going to turn on everybody else. Number two, think about it, it's like, if you were led by some great leader, and this is all under the guise of the people that believed in the dude, so don't get me wrong. You know, if you were led by this great person, you truly believed that person to be great, and then you found out, like, how horrible they were, how much of a monster they were, think about the morale, think about the chaos and the confusion that it will cause within that person. and then them as a collective, what happens? You know what I mean? So it's like Obama's untouchable. Like Donna's brought that up before. Like, who would go down for that? And it's like most likely it would be somebody like Epstein who's going to go down for a lot of that shit. The Clintons are untouchable. The Obamas are untouchable. That's why they're starting to go up to Canada because they know it's a sinking ship over here. Like, what are they going to do? They're fucking eating themselves. And like what they were talking about on the Post, right, getting attacked by Antifa, there's a point where it's like, well, we can't attack you guys no more, so what's going to happen? Well, now they got to direct that anger and that hate towards somebody else, and a lot of them are agent provocateurs anyway. So what are you going to do? You know, you can't confront them head on. You know, but it's like at least like fucking we have a crazy son of a bitch over here who doesn't play the game, and he's like in it to win it. You know what I mean? And then like we got one thing over here that the liberals love to spout out is that Trump is a puppeteer to somebody else. But think about how fucking crazy that would be. If somebody as powerful and as influential as Trump is being controlled by somebody else, that's fucking scary. That's scary.
Well,
yeah.
If I can jump in here.
Go ahead. Sorry,
I wanted to touch on this because you know whether you guys think it's too late or not, that's a perspective that is based on what's happening within your own border. And evil is fluid like water, and it will take the path of least resistance. And right now, that's in Canada, where we have precedent-setting fight going on with this Jessica Yanev story. Who is two years into her transgender program, who is meticulously going from salon to salon to salon, demanding that the women wax his junk, and the instant they say no, he files a human rights lawsuit against them. So now this guy has literally got 16 different human rights lawsuits because his rights are being infringed upon. The courts are supporting his rights to file these lawsuits. Businesses are closed. They're paying off to the tune of thousands of dollars to leave them alone, and this is somehow acceptable in Canada? So now, whether it's too late or not there, if this succeeds here, you guys have got the world's largest unprotected border against this stuff manifesting itself up here. So these fights need to be important to you guys down there as well, whether Canada is lost or not. We are brothers in this fight against this. And if we fall here, you guys are going to be building a wall on the wrong side of the country.
Oh, I think we'll fall
agree.
Here. You know? I agree and I disagree because what happens in Canada is a trickle down effect into the United States. Wayne brought up a very great point on the last episode, you know, that we spend so much time worrying about our southern border that we don't pay enough attention to our northern border. And, you know, with that being said, the extremists, the radicals, the fascists from our country are making their way to Canada and truly causing more havoc for the Canadian people. You know, it's an atrocity that we have to do shows like this. It's saddening, it's sickening, because I was taught in you know, believe in your neighbor, trust in your neighbor, believe in life. And now, as we mentioned earlier, I think there's 100-something different sexual orientations, and you've got transgender people reading to our little kids in school. People on Facebook have now posed it to where if you speak out against pedophilia, that you're banned, not them. So they're protecting the left. They're protecting the pedophiles. They're protecting all aspects of which are construing hate. You know, they're allowed to construe the hate, but we're not allowed a voice. And to
me, I know,
that
we,
is the most... Go ahead.
Yeah, we got a problem, man, and I'm going to put it right toot sweet here. I was raised on a farm, and I'll tell you one thing. I don't know what has happened to our brain. It's real simple. And there was a fellow that said this, and I'm not going to – I mean, if you go to the washroom, and when you come out of the bathroom, you can't determine you're a man or a woman, you have a serious problem, and it's not determining whether you're a man or a woman. And I'm not trying to incite anything here, but there's a psychological problem. It's just that simple.
I tell you what, if a lady in a dress comes and stands up while I'm pissing next to me, I'm beating the shit out of her. I'll beat the shit out of her. And don't let a man come out of the bathroom with my little girl, because then we have a real issue there. You know, I'm going to let Travis Hyland answer one more question, and then I'm going to turn the mic over to each one of you and let you get your say before we wrap up today's episode. Travis?
I mean, I kind of posed this question to Wayne last week, and since me and Jamie seem to share a lot of the deep rabbit hole ideas, I'll pose this to him first. But how do you guys feel about, you know, new things in Canada, like the Google City that's being built, where, you know, everything is going to be run off of, you know, facial recognition, only the rich are going to live in the city, no one's going to be allowed to have a car because it's going to be all driverless cars, you know.
Well,
what do you think of this dystopian idea of creating cities?
So here, I'm just going to fast forward the tape right there. So there's a book you need to read, and I believe it's called... Is it Life After Google, or it's Life After Google? Because what people don't realize is Google is on its way out the door. There's a whole new algorithm that's going to be entangled with blockchain. So the technology of having all these, I think Google has like 80 central database warehouses where everything's stored in a big cloud, right? So that technology, guys, was great over the last 20 years. But we're moving into a whole new idea, a whole new infrastructure, and it's going to be blockchain, and blockchain will override all of that stuff. It's going to be, you'll see what happens over the next 10 years. The fall, you're going to see the fall of Google. You will see it. Guaranteed.
I can't wait for that.
That's just my opinion. Yeah.
Derek, you've been quite quiet on the show today. You know, I know it's a lot to take in, and I know trust is a major issue because, you know, the trust of the Canadian people has been, you know, I guess you can say belittled, you know, and it's hard
and
to
abused.
Know who you can trust and... Who would stand behind you as a true brother? Well, I can guarantee you, Jamie and Derek, that this is the first of many shows that we are going to do. You know, I won't be censored. You know, I'm an old man. I've already lived my life. They can't take shit away from me. You know, and I believe that the unification of our countries needs to come together. We need to share the voice as one so the world can truly hear what is going on and what is occurring and what will be in their backyard next. But with that being said, I'm going to toss the mic to Derek first. Is there any final thoughts or, you know, aspects that you'd like to add to the show before we wrap things up?
Well, there's one thing I could say, though. I agree that we need to be brothers and sisters in the United States and Canada. And I fight this fight for the future of my kids, and I want to have a better future for them. Right now it's messed up, and they're teenagers, and they're getting into this whole agenda with the sexualization of, you know, of children stuff with the tranny story time and stuff like that. And I'm standing up against that because they deserve to be kids, and they deserve to have a better future than what we are living in right now.
I agree with you, and I commend you on that. Jamie?
Well, you know what? I think it's real simple. And I just get right back to the whole purpose, I think, of what's happening between Canada and the U.S. is we're all being told a bunch of lies. You know, we've been literally brainwashed by this massive propaganda machine for four generations. So it's kind of like this. If any of you guys ever remember back in the old days, if you're into audio or setting up a stereo, do you ever have that box of wires that you have in the back of your closet that's got all your speaker wires and your RCA cables and this and that? And you really gotta try to find one cable in both ends? We're in the middle right now of tangling a ball of yarn and trying to find both ends. And that's the process that we're going through, and that's why you're seeing a lot of this, there's some chaos and confusion and resistance and a lot of mixed emotions. But I think at the end of the day, once we get this the system wired in, which is already in the process of happening, the lights are going to turn on and everything's going to be crystal clear.
I like that. I truly do like that. Thank you for your sentiments. You know, next time we're going to have to do a two-hour show. We actually didn't get flagged the show last time. The FCC shut us down right as we were ending the show. So, you know, it's tremendous that today's show didn't get flagged. You know, it's going to show you that we are making a difference, that people are more in tune to listen than they are to hit the, you know, button to file a complaint against me through the FCC. You know, it's tremendous because my show goes out live on several FM radio stations here in the States, and it goes out live on RSS feeds worldwide. So the message isn't just being heard in the United States or Canada. The message is being heard worldwide. And the gentleman that actually brought this all to apparition, I'd like to give him the final last thought of the show, that being Wayne Peters. Wayne, you know, it goes to show you my thought earlier about trust becoming an issue. You looked at me, and it took me quite a while to get into your back pocket, you know, as you weren't sure that I was on the same page with you, and I respect you for doing that because it built up a trust between us now that can't be broken. It built up a brotherhood that nobody can step in between, and I will always have the back of the Canadian people that truly want their country back, because that's what we want here in the United States. Together we stand as one, and together we will move forward as one. Wayne, if there's anything else you'd like to say to the people of Canada, the people of the world, the floor is yours, sir.
Well, that fact is kind of waking me up a little bit to the fact that us as freedom speakers up here in Canada have kind of become like the dog that's been hit by the newspaper too many times, and when they hear a strange noise, they jump and cower a little bit because you're not sure. And I think this is all coming from a different perspective, in that I see happening is that our social evolution has been deeply, deeply impacted by social media and social engineering that has been enabled by social media. And the more we realize and accept and educate that, the more we come back to our humanity and operating and thinking from a place of love and a place of knowledge and empowerment rather than fear. And this is the brotherhood that we have to get back to. The world has shrunk, and we're no longer little tribes. We're acting against a neighboring tribe. We have to be humans acting within our nations, against the social engineering, and stick to the power and love and truth, and that's ultimately what wins the day.
Amen.
Well said, Wayne.
Most definitely. Yeah, very well said. And, you know, I will schedule the next show that we do for 2 hours, and we'll see how long the FCC lets us go. Travis, is there anything you would like to say to Derek, Jamie, or Wayne before we let them go?
I mean, man, just once again, thank you guys for even, you know, having the balls enough to still come on here and be able to speak the truth, you know. I think one of the biggest problems we're having in America is that people have become so complacent. You know, I talk about it all the time, that, like, we have an obesity rate of 70%. You know, people are so, so distracted by everything that, you know, here in America, it's like you can't even wake people up to the things that are going on right to the north of our border. So I just want to thank you guys and, you know, everybody out there that's listening to the show, man. You know, speak the truth. Speak the truth. Do some research, you know. Don't always take the mainstream, you know, story of everything. Propaganda is very, very real, and it's more important now than ever to seek the truth and to speak the truth.
Hey, I want to say thank you for letting me come on your show, guys. I really appreciate it, and I really like the dialogue. It was very very informative, and it's good to know that we're not alone. I think it's important that people have the ability to communicate and communicate open and honestly, because that's the only way we can actually get to the bottom of things, by speaking the truth.
Yes,
I agree, and thank you for having me on, too.
Oh, the honor is all ours. MF, is there anything that you would like to share to our guests before we let them go?
Just thanks for coming on, guys. You know, I appreciate the honesty. And good information. Definitely some things that pique my interest, and I'll meditate on it for the next time we have a conversation.
Oh, most definitely. And my words to each one of you is you're not in this fight alone. I stand with you as one, and we will continue this fight together. Let's make Canada proud again. Let's show the Canadian people that with a voice you can get your country back. With a voice you can
Amen.
Make a difference. And we can stand
Amen.
Together as one. Until next time, thank you, gentlemen, for joining the show. I appreciate it. I don't want to go any longer because I don't want to get flagged, Jim, but we're looking forward to another episode, a two-hour show we'll do next time, and we'll share the voice that much more broader and maybe even in a video spectrum. And I appreciate you so much from the bottom of my heart having the courage and the motivation to come on the show and care about the country as we do.
It's an honor to be on the right side of history.
Yeah, I agree. It's an honor
right?
to you. Thank you for having us.
Oh, most definitely. Here's to the future, gentlemen. Thank you, and have a good day, and God bless.
God bless.
Hey.
Expeditiously check them, I see her acting reckless. About to put her on my checklist. She be killing it with that ass like her back is made of asbestos. Like mesothelioma.